Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Macca, last week while we were chatting about this very perplexing topic of older Australians and the impact that COVID's having on them, one of our listeners, Janet Francis, who happens to also be a registered nurse, wrote in to us and sent us some feedback. We followed up with Janet thinking that it'd be lovely to actually hear what she has to say and engage in a conversation on air. Good morning to you, Janet.
Good morning, Tess and Macca.
Great to have you on the airwaves. Janet, we always love a personal story that actually gives a human perspective to some of the policy issues that we discuss. Tell us, what's it like working in an aged care setting? How does it feel?
Well, as a registered nurse, the responsibilities from my perspective are quite significant. And as I mentioned in my text last week, it's around fulfilling duty of care both to staff and residents. And when you're actually on the floor and responsible at times for maybe 60 residents at one time or up to 90, you might have two registered nurses, that is quite a heavy caseload to oversee the clinical practice or the practice of the support workers that work with directly with the hands-on care for those in aged care, and to ensure that safe practice is being carried out. And my concern was when I heard last week around the auditing process in aged care that nobody really audits the actual practice of the workers or the registered nurses in overseeing and carrying out that supervision if they've got time to be able to do that. So auditors really audit the paperwork evidence that the work has been completed rather than looking at how that actually transfers into safe work practice.
Gee, there's a lot to unpack in that, but I know Mac has got a question for you,
yeah,
Janet.
Yeah, Janet, look, thanks for coming on and talking to us, and, you know, we like this first-hand account. So when you said about the auditors, can I ask you, Janet, have you worked in a facility or have you been there when a facility has been audited?
I have worked in...
you're lucky because they don't do it very often.
No, well, I have worked across sectors, as said, with disability and community and in aged care sectors. And from my experience prior to this spot checks, I haven't sort of been involved in any of those. But you, as said last week, though, you were given about three months warning. So everybody brings out the standard and we say, well, we have to make sure our documentation is meets these standards, and then there's a working party that works towards ensuring that all paperwork is up to date and up to scratch, and policies, procedures are all in place, which policies and, you know, procedures do underpin to a degree practice, but it doesn't measure practice, the hands-on clinical component in those facilities.
So it doesn't actually measure it. Sorry, it doesn't actually measure that, Janet.
No, it might measure it. The evidence is the paperwork. It does. There's no. There will be interviews. They do interviews to staff members. So usually you'll nominate somebody who's one of your better age, you know, support workers. There's not really any random selection across the sector, and they will, you know, ask some questions about, you know, what do you do in this situation, or, you know, describe how you would, you know, perform a particular task. They also interview family members, relatives, and you might give, you know, say 5 or 10 family members, which you have to get consent from prior to, and they will contact them and have a discussion with them to see whether there are any anomalies in the care of the person that's been in the care of the aged care facility or across the sectors that I've sort of nominated, disability and community.
So, Janet, what I'm hearing you say is that a lot of your work is actually about reviewing paper, not actually about observing and working with residents in their rooms or in the environment. Is that right?
Yes. Well, the registered nurse, you do have in an aged care facility, you've got the clinical care coordinator who is responsible for all the clinical documentation to ensure that it's done, the registered nurse role. And this is just from my experience in some of the settings I've worked, and I'm not saying this is across all settings, but the responsibility is to mainly oversee the medical management of those people, ensuring doctor's appointments, you know, doctors are seeing patients that are unwell, doing blood pressures because support workers don't have the qualification to, you know, do that task. Might be taking blood sugar levels, doing some wound care, but not actually working directly with the support workers in transferring clients, you know, getting them in and out of bed, getting them ready for breakfast. There seems to still be the morning rush to get everyone out of bed to have breakfast at a particular time. And then by 11 o'clock, that work's all done. And then there's some other, you know, tasks that the support workers need to do. And then they're only working six-hour shifts and they go home and another shift doesn't sort of come on until maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock. And the registered nurses are there for, you know, longer periods overseeing you know, the rest of the care and any clinical component that is required by the residents in the facility.
So, Janet, are there enough nurses?
Yeah. Well, no. There's some that I have known that do have a registered nurse for 30 residents, which is sort of doable. You know, I've been a unit manager, and that's about the number of, you know, patients that you do have to care for.
But they're not patients; they're actually residents. It's a bit different, isn't it?
No, I'm just saying I've been in a hospital setting.
Yes,
but I haven't been in that position in a aged care facility. I've been more of the registered nurse, not in charge. So there is, you know, from a clinical perspective, I find I'd like to work more in aged care, but I find that the responsibility for registered nurses are huge when you're looking and overseeing that amount of patient care, client, you know, resident care, and also staff.
Janet, our previous guest was Ian Yates from the Council of the Aging, and we put to him whether the regulations themselves in the residential aged care sector require further work, and he agreed that they did. What is your view about that? Do you think that the regulations are adequate?
Well, you know, when I was hearing those conversations, it's a bit like a layered cake. You know, you've got government, you've got different agencies, you know, look at COTA, you've got the regulators, you've got a lot of layers before it actually trickles down, that's supposed to provide some sort of governance before it trickles down to the actual practice. And when you look at, you know, the structure, everyone's saying it should improve. this is no different, you know, from the last 20 years. You know, nothing has really changed. They've changed processes, but really the change hasn't, and there has been some good changes. But the bottom line is the provision of care. And where, by the time it all filters down, the time frames in terms of getting people ready for the day and having a registered nurse. Now, we used to have more registered nurses in aged care, and then it was deregulated, and then we became too costly, and therefore they are now saying, oh, no, we'll put in, you know, minimal trained staff with one registered nurse, or now the enrolled nurses who do, I think, an 18-month course are now being in charge. Not all of them have that same degree of clinical reasoning and understanding of care needs. You know, the safe transferring of people. I've seen a person being washed, sitting on a commode chair, naked over a toilet.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Getting them ready for the breakfast. Yep, and this is in recent years, you know. Times, very recent.
Janet, we're almost out of time, but is there a message that you have for our listeners this morning about what needs to be done to improve residential aged care services for elderly people?
Well, it's about putting more experienced, I suppose, registered nurses working with the actual support workers in educating them in that applied you know, manner in transferring skills across so they actually have good practice and they have they've got the reasoning why they need to do things in a particular way rather than just doing the task. They actually have an understanding of what underpins the task, and there should be more registered nurses working with or qualified people working with, you know, people in aged care. So that,
thank you very much, Janet.
It can be measured, yes.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you for sharing with us.
And thanks for reaching out to us to come and share your experience with us. It's very important.
No, it's a pleasure. Anytime. Thank you very much for having me.
And keep on giving us feedback. We always love to hear from you.
Yes, certainly. I listen every Saturday.
Fantastic.
Gorgeous. That was Janet Francis, who's a registered nurse who's working across aged care and community and disability sector.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.